for us what God has laid on his heart. Father in heaven, we want to thank you for your servant, Joely. And we want to thank you for what you've laid on his heart. And now is the time for him to break bread with us and share that which you've laid on his heart, sharing that with us. And I pray that you give him the courage and the boldness to deliver your word with all integrity. And I also pray that you touch our hearts in a special way like never before, to really hear and listen to what you're speaking into our hearts, into our spirits today. In Jesus Christ's name. Amen.
Amen.
God bless you.
Thank you.
Good morning.
Good morning.
How are you? I enjoyed the worship. I had a wonderful experience yesterday. Diane and Andrew put together a worship, a continuous of a worship series we've been doing, a worship course. And it's just refreshing to sit there, even though I was there for a short while, and just be reminded afresh again the centrality of our focus every day in our worship that anchors on Jesus alone. And I'm so thankful that the worship team is putting together these courses and training to bring us closer to an understanding on why also we do church and why are we here together. Today, it's about, we'll talk a little bit about the joy of being part of this fellowship, the SIC. I remember many years ago, I was looking with my wife. We were part of a Norwegian church, a wonderful Norwegian Pentecostal church. And then somehow, we really felt compelled that we need to start looking for a place of worship that we can, for me, to speak English. My worship language is English. And then we didn't know that Stavanger International exists. So we were going all over the place. And then somehow in the car, she said, I think there's a church up there in that school. What school? You know. And we came here. For you engineers and all of you who are, you know, it's easy to see potential. Yeah, when you see a gold mine, or I remember one of my friend who's an engineer, a mechanic, he said, I find it difficult to pray when cars are going on the road. Because when I'm trying to focus on God, oh, that car needs a new muffler or something like that, you know? And he sees things. And when we come into a setting like this, our hearts beats faster. Because you feel God's heart, not only for the church, but for the nation that are represented here. Amen? And that's something that I will never forget in my first encounter here. So We want to talk a little bit about SIC and who we are and our journey. There are some people there. And many of us have our own definition of our church. Many times we come from different churches, experience, and we are set in our preferences in what we believe or what we are used to. I remember in Portland, Oregon, I was a member of a very small Baptist church, And there were about 15 old people, and I was like their great-grandchildren, son. After a few months, somebody died. So I've sang for the past 4 years in their church in different funerals. But then, and at the same time, it was that place that God prepared me and launched me, was among these. A few years later, I was leading worship in a church of about 10,000. And I live in the inner city, I go to suburban environment, and then come back to inner city. And I was living in those two worlds. And I like the dynamic of being there in this African-American church full of old people and who just love me unconditionally and said to me, "Joely, that is not how you play Ain't No Rock. This is how you do it." And they just, you know, so it was one old lady who taught me the song Ain't No Rock. It was from that, then a couple of years later, I know her name was Nancy Beth. And they play a role in my life. And so wherever we go, in what church or whatever community of believers that we're part of, we pay attention to what God wants to do for us. So for SAC, this is what I've come up with. Oops. Yeah, you can read that. I like the last one. Where's the one? We're a family. Amen? And you come here, you connect, you become part of an incredible family, incredible gifted people, amazing talented leaders. So that's SAC. But we are also cross-cultural. We are intercultural. We are multi-generational. We are interdenominational. And it's always a challenge to even put these all in a mix. Yeah? And the fact that for us, this is not a project. One of the biggest movement right now in church planting in America is a multicultural church. And when we look back, we see that it's not just an idea, but it's birthed out the very heart of God. The New Testament, even go back to the Old Testament, that we see God and those people from other lands who want to be part of the blessings. And we are here together. Intercultural also, it has its own challenge. You know, it has some obstacles. It has its own obstacles, interdenominational. But the fact that we have not allowed this to become the invisible walls of our existence, that this is, SAC is not a project, but a way of living in a community. Amen? That we come together, despite of our differences, that we are able to willfully choose to relate to one another, to depend on each other, to take intentional steps and also pursue intercultural competence and training of other leaders. So we see a diverse group of people coming together from different nations with different backgrounds, with rich resources coming together. We say this our island culture. I bring the basket, we bring our lemons, and we fill the basket. Yeah? We bring our lemons, and we fill the basket. That each and every one of us. But also, if we look at it, there is a biblical mandate also of our existence. It is not just birth out of those who have pioneered the church, but there is a divine purpose of God, amen, of why this community has to exist. And if we really take our existence seriously, we will see the purpose of God in his kingdom here ingrained in the midst of us. The theme today, the last couple of weeks, we've been talking about focusing our eyes on Jesus. Keep the focus moving forward. And it's amazing. You look on the Oxford Dictionary and start picking out this incredible definition of focus. I'm amazed to see how these things also, the whole idea of focusing on Christ, focusing on the importance of our spiritual life as individual, the importance of our spiritual life and identity as corporately as a church, the importance of us knowing and being secure in identifying our spiritual calling as individual and also our corporate spiritual calling as a church. And we function from what we believe God has called us to do. And in order to do that, it brings us into a place of focus that this year is about focusing on that. The last 2 weeks, we talk about the challenge to really be serious. Maybe we need to pay serious attention to our spiritual life. And we bring about the importance of us to develop our prayer life, developing the importance, recognizing the importance of us developing our beginning with our prayer life, our own personal prayer life, our own personal pursuit of God. We talk about prayer, we talk about how we individually take the challenge. There's a lot of people here that many of us, whether it's to do with us, whether it's to do with the people around us, whether it's to do with our extended family, at some way or the other, we all need some degree of breakthrough. And that's why the challenge that was laid early this year is for us to engage ourselves in the seriousness of our spiritual life, beginning with our devotional life, our prayer life, our worship life personally. And we talk about Jesus' example. So the gauntlet has been given to us. We are beginning to pray. I will come back with some of those. I will go through this quickly, and then we'll get back to our passage that we read this morning. Let's look at why, as I see, our ministry and our calling. Now, many times that we have our vision for the church, you know, I've been in many different churches, big and small, we see the impact, the growth, and stuff like that. But there's one thing, and that is focusing again on the very heart of why we exist. And we've shared this with the leaders and the council, and also with the pastoral team. I'll bring three things that I want to share with us to gauge us from. Our mission is what? Why we exist. Our mission is our biblical mandate in our existence here on earth. Our mission is not something that you can say, yep, we've checked this, we've checked this, we've checked this. The mission of the church and our vision is how we live out our mission in the world. So I'm going to begin with recognizing our three ministry, the ministry of our church. And number one is ministry of worship. In Psalm chapter 95, let me just go there quickly. I just want to encourage us in that. With everything that is happening around the world today, one of the biggest challenges among Christians is that people are beginning to wonder. I remember somebody said to me, Joely, I'm worried. What if there is no heaven or hell? And I've sat with this guy in Bible study and all these things. And it was it's a question you don't want to be asked. But it's important. So he asked me, you know, why is it there is, what if there is no heaven? You know, my Bible study is in vain. So that's what I've been wondering. Maybe I shouldn't bother too much about my spiritual life. You know, what if all these things and then there is nothing there? I said, you know, well, look at it this way. It's better to be prepared. Yeah, for me, I will hold on to my faith. Whether there is heaven or no God, what? I will hold on to my faith. You can't take it away. Nobody can take it away. Even if there is no hope, at least I have something. I lose nothing. Yeah. Okay. Well, that makes sense. You lose nothing, but you gain. So, and I see this question ringing around a lot of Christians here today. As we look around on what's happening around us, there's a lot of questions we ask. And that's why, as a church, it's important for us to begin again in our focus on Jesus Christ. Focus on our relationship with Him. Focus on the one who is the author and the finisher of our faith. Let's look at worship quickly. In Psalm 95, Psalm 95, it says, come, let us sing for joy to the Lord. Let us shout aloud to the rock of our salvation. Let us come before him with thanksgiving and extol him with music and song. For the Lord is a great God and a great King above all gods. In his hands are the depths of the earth. And the mountain peaks belong to him. The sea is his, for he made it, and his hand formed the dry land. Come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before our God, our Maker. For he is our God, and we are the people of his pasture, and the flock under his care. Let me say this. Worship sets us apart as people of God. Amen? Believers worship their God. It is by our worship we declare by our act who we belong to and who is our God. Now our worship. How is our worship? So, our ministry to God as a body. Paul's exhortation, he exhorts us in also in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 16 to 19. Now, let me just go there quickly. Thank you for your patience in advance. Let's just see. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 12 to 13. Chapter 5, 16 to 19. Here we go. Be very careful then how you live, not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of every opportunity, because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is. Do not get drunk, which leads to debauchery. Instead, be filled with the Spirit. Speak to one another with psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. Sing and make music from your heart to the Lord, always giving thanks to God, the Father, for everything in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Submit to one another out of reverence for Christ, our ministry to the Lord, our worship. And then we also talk about our ministry to the believers as a church. The Word of God exhorts us in nurturing our people. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 12 and 13, he said to equip his people for the works of service so that the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach the unity in faith in the knowledge of the Son of God to become mature, attaining to the full measure of the fullness of Christ. And he's also speak about presenting believers mature in Christ. And one of our role in our existence as a church is to equip our people, to nurture our people, so they can grow into maturity. And that brings us to number three also. The ministry to the world. So we have our ministry to God. We have a ministry to the believers, and we have a ministry to those who are lost and hurt. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything that I have commanded you. And surely I'm with you always, the very end of the age. These three, we can't change or check. Okay, we have fulfilled our worship. I think everybody here is mature. And I think we have reached the people that we need to reach. These are the things we cannot tick off. And our mission is how we live out these three things. Our vision. What it looks like, leaving that out. And the thing, let me just say this. I was at one of our small group. Joseph is going to talk about that also. Our small group, I think it was last week in Sula. Three families got together. And I was so blessed to be there. I think Ari was leading the cell group, and it makes everything worthwhile to be part of this community, to see what's going on in those in that cell group. And I believe there are a few other cell groups and the home group that are here today have our own story and journey. We have wonderful leaders who are leading this area. But I see the significance of that in part of our nurturing of our people, not only here, but also the different workshops that we're doing, the different training that will be coming. But the key factor is see that this life that we, as a church, that people are thriving in our lives. We are thriving in our giftings, in our calling, that we are not striving, which is the opposite of thriving. We are not just surviving, but the church is moving, is growing. People are growing in maturity. They are focusing on their calling, and they are empowering each other and helping one another to function well in their daily lives, in our walk with Christ. We'll talk more about that later on. We see the early church in Acts chapter 2, verse 47. And it speaks of the same thing that we're talking about. The church was a learning church. And we read from chapter 42, we see the believers submitting themselves to the teaching of the scripture. It was a loving church. They were a worshiping church. They meet in the temple. They also meet in different homes. There are traditional worship going on, and there is spontaneous worship, both in reverence and celebration of what Christ is doing. And there were also an evangelistic church. It says that every day God was adding to their numbers daily. And so when we look at our existence, this is something that we believe that that is important and part of our foundation, our mission, recognizing and understanding our mission here while we are here on earth. The worship that SIC not only will be a church of many nations, but it will be a house of worship. I remember a couple of months ago, there's a military guy from the British Army came to NATO. He came and he sat there. He was sitting back there. And after the service, he came to me and he said, "You know, my church has the full orchestra." "Oh, really? Oh, wow. Well, this is fantastic. All kinds of instruments." And that time, I think Leandro was leading worship. And he said, "I sat here during worship, somebody playing the guitar, and I had an encounter with Jesus." We need to protect. We need to guard those areas that God has given us. It's amazing. He said, "We have all these orchestras and audition. We have people who are auditioned to be in the singers. And then I come here. I was expecting a whole orchestra, fancy, cool band. But I sat there and I encountered Jesus." Are you encouraged? I was encouraged. Because sometimes we focus on the things we don't have. And we got caught up on the things that we lack. But rather we lose focus on the things that makes the heart of God smile. Things that makes the heart of God wants to come and dwell with his people. That he show up. Our mission, our vision, how are we living out our mission? Training disciples for the next move. You know, I talked to a guy when I came here a few years ago when Pastor Vidar was here. You know, I speak and honor those pastors who have gone before us. And we build on what they've already built. And we give honor to the sacrifice that they have made. And for us, for this season, it is us who will move forward together with those who come and join with us in what God wants us to do. And and there was a guy who came from Indonesia. He was sitting back there. And I've seen him many Sundays, probably for months, sitting there. And then one day somebody came, you know, I like the Indonesian guys because they are very, very humble. Very respectful. "Actually, I come on behalf of somebody who wants to join the worship team." "Oh, yeah, that's good, come." So he's been modest. He was just singing, the wife was sitting silently. You know who I'm talking about. And then during practice, I said, "Do you play the piano?" "Yeah, kind of." "Okay, yeah, come play." So he sat down on the piano and he closed his eyes and played. And it feels like that heaven just opened. That incredible talent and gift that was sitting back there all this time. Now he came, he's Arthur and Angel. And they are amazing. They've moved to Oman or to Qatar after that, and they were traveling different parts of the world because of their work. You see, this is the thing. We take our environment with us, and wherever we go, we recreate those environments, those values, those visions that we have. Wherever we go, we will recreate it. Wherever we go, we will look for it. And it's important that our mandate also and our vision is to train disciples for the next move. People are always moving in this church. We're a transitional church. People come and people go. And many times we, you know, feel sorry for when Vidar was here. He just looked at me one day and said, "What do we do?" That we've kind of settled in the idea that we are a transitional church. Maybe we just be a church where people come, wonderful, and then we sing, "May the road meet you, bye-bye, you know, pray for you for your next move." But if we are, the church has moved far from being to transition out of a mindset and a perspective of being a transitional church. Oh yeah, new people come in, wonder what, how long are you going to be here? How long is your contract and all these things? You know, we enjoy the fellowship and then we go again. But in order to think biblically on our mandate, it's very strategic that God brings us here also to be part of shaping and equipping us. Amen? Training disciples for the next move, that anyone who comes and be part of a wonderful community, that they will grow. You know, I have a brother, Tudo, here. We met, talked with Seth in NATO. And then now he is hosting once a month a wonderful, incredible fellowship together at their house. And, you know, we are so incredibly grateful that they are part of the different fellowship. They come and they find, I'm blessed to see that happen. I'm blessed that God has never run out of people. Amen? People come and people go. It is our role as a church to make sure that when they come or when they go, they are ready. When they come here, they become ingrained and part of the fellowship, the growth, the nurturing that is happening, that they thrive. And when it's time to leave, they have a fresh focus, a purpose, a vision in wherever they will be to recreate that wonderful environment. The beginning of this month, I said in my prayer, I said, "Lord, I want to start sharing my faith again to people." Many years ago, when I was playing rugby, in the States, we travel a lot. We travel to Scotland, sometimes in Ireland, playing in this top-level rugby. And this is one thing that my players at the airport, they're always looking out for me. And, you know, and then somebody came to my hotel room and said, "Joel, you know everybody, wherever we go, you know somebody." I said, "No." Because I like talking to people. You know, you sit down, you engage, and then suddenly something opens up and, it's just natural. "Hey, how are you? How are you doing?" "Oh, that's a," you know. And then you start talking and then suddenly people start sharing with you their life story. And then, so it becomes a trend, a tradition to our team that before we board on the gate, they have to look for me to make sure that I'm not talking to anybody. And I like that. And sometimes we lose our passion to share and talk about Jesus. And we don't know here in Fiji, of course, you can talk to anybody. They even welcome you in their house, set up the whole dinner and said, "Come, have dinner, fill your stomach and tell us about Jesus. Go for it," you know. And but here is different. So I said, "Lord, you bring me divine appointment. I'm going to share. I want to share and talk about you to the people that I meet." So just share this. These last 2 months, I remember I walk into a gas station and there I saw this tall guy,
big, huge guy serving me. So I looked at him. Dude, what, you play basketball, football, or what? A wrestler? No. You'll make a good rugby player. Have you heard of rugby? And he said, no, I don't play any sport. I said, what? Where are you from? That was the beginning of our engagement. Every morning, I stop in this gas station. He has a Bible, and we talk. And now his other friend knows about me. He's from Venezuela. So there he said, are you the guy from the church? So now we have two people that I'm sharing with, and it's fun, you know. It's fun. Many things that we do, that our own lives and impacting people's lives comes personally also, not just a group, but your own ministry. Amen. Workplace, wherever we go, you know. When I was coaching rugby, I have a commitment that I will pray for every people that I coach by name. And every day before I go, every night after practice, I will pray for all the people that I have coached. Find a place. Where are you involved in this, in the community? Amen. I'm going to ask Joseph to come up and share a little bit of some of the stuff. We're just giving you a chaser here of what's coming.
We are people that are frail. And like many that have gone before us in the walk with God, you could mention Moses, who said, I can't do this. I don't have the speech. I don't have the eloquence to do this thing. And many others that have gone before us citing their weaknesses and saying, I can't do this. But the good thing is God knows that. And he says, let the weak say, I am strong. And let the poor say, I am rich because of what the Lord has done. And so God inspires one and inspires another, because he's chosen to work in and through us. And so he creates opportunities for us to connect with him and to be part of what he is doing in and through our SIC community. And so we have sort of picked up some of the new things that are coming up this year. Julia has spoken about the worship course that began last year, that was organized by Andrew and Dan. And this is the beauty of it, that everyone, there is something for everyone to pick and enjoy. There is something for everyone to come and connect and engage and do things together. And the events provide opportunities to grow and express ourselves in worship, nurturing, and evangelism. Now, on the worship course, the last one is coming on the 9th of February. And it's titled, The Authentic Leader. Now, yesterday was a great experience for me. We get time mingling and just laughing and having a meal together, and we went through four video sessions. Leading worship, releasing creativity, the effective team, and how to play together. These things happen when we come together in workshops or we engage in one event or another together and we share our resources and our time to deliver God's will for us and for the community we live in. So that's coming, and be encouraged to be part of that too. It is specifically designed. The audience specifically is worship leaders, audiovisual team, worship assistants, musicians, singers. But the content offers great teaching for everyone else, so please feel free to come. Great fun and enriching experience. We also have upcoming biblical counseling and leadership development workshop that's targeted for the 25th of March. This workshop is designed to equip us in one another care. The target audience is literally everyone. Growth group leaders, ministry leaders, council members, worship leaders, audiovisual team, worship assistants, musicians, singers, greeters, Sunday school teachers, hospitality team, everyone. As we sit together and work through material to learn how to counsel one another, how to care for one another based on sound biblical teaching. And then also another inspiration is the GZ Cafe for teens and young adults, creating an opportunity for our teens and young adults in our community to hang out. And the tentative date is the 17th of March. And this would facilitate a safe environment for teens and young adults to hang out on Friday nights, light refreshments, games, soft background music, sometimes live music, short creative Bible presentations, and that could then project and open up to the wider community. So opportunities for everyone to find something to do and engage in what God is doing, what God is inspiring our community to do. Students outreach. A door has opened for SIC to help with establishing an international Bible study group at the University of Stavanger. I think for years we've wanted to have a foot into that. But finally, through the networking of Pastor Jolie and the community leaders, a door has finally opened, and we have been officially sort of welcomed to come and support the work for Bible studies for students there. And then we've got the VID, the students that are here with us from different nations. This was running some years ago, and then it sort of went down, but now it's sort of reestablished, and I understand that this is now happening, right? Yeah. And in summer, during summertime, I understand that the local churches, local communities have sort of come together to say, hey, let's do something here. Yeah, the English-speaking church. Let's do something together. And this is fantastic because it shows that we engage with our community. We don't work solo. We realize what God is doing. We acknowledge what God is doing through other church leaders in our community. And we have an opportunity to say, hey, let's come together and do things together. And this is one example where the English-speaking churches have decided to work together during summer and have joint services that would open up to during summertime, there's lots of visitors, tourists coming around, just to give them an opportunity. It's a form of outreach to the tourists that come over, but also a way of bonding or working together as churches in this community. So these are the things that we're looking forward to. I'm excited, and there is something for everyone. Including live worship there, coming up on the 19th and 18th of June. Thank you, and God bless.
Thank you, Joseph. One of our blessings, also as a church, is our cooperation with the local body. Amen? That we become part of what God is doing in the community. The reason, because it promotes the unity of the body of Christ. And then we also be part of sharing resources with other churches. For me, it's very important that wherever we go, we see what God is doing in the community and plug in ourselves to be part of joint effort with other churches in doing so. One thing I didn't mention also, I spoke with Henrik in New Year. Came to me and said, Happy New Year, or Merry Christmas, something like that. I can't remember, but he said something. It was a good year last year because we went to Canada.
We took a team to Canada. One of the things about SSC that I really believe, and I want to encourage us to think of this thought, that SSC is a launching pad for mission. Amen? That this is a place where we send people out. It's a sending church. Last year, we have Covenant players went to Fiji, in 2015. And they went to my country, and I was so blessed. They opened up doors, and God opened up doors for them in prisons, women prisons, and men's prisons, and they made an immense impact in my nation. They were also involved in training leaders, pastors, while we were there. And for us to look at the potential that is here sitting next to you, our world changes. Amen? We took a team to Canada. Sometimes, as a church, we need to have a joint faith together. Yeah? A joint faith together for what God, to believe in God for impossibility. When the church come together, when the church pray together, when the church humble ourselves together, when we worship God together, and when we trust God together for breakthrough, things happen. Amen. And I want to encourage us today, for those of us who are discouraged today, be encouraged. I want to just bring out this verse that we've been talking about. Okay. Anyways, in Judges chapter 20, verse 16. Unable to move this thing. Yeah. Back. There we go. Among all these soldiers, there were 700 chosen men who were left-handed, each of whom could sling a stone at a hair and not miss. How many of you, I was in one of my devotional reading, I think 2 weeks ago, I came across this passage, and it caught my attention. And it's the story of the Benjamite. Something happened. It happened that the whole Israel was about to come and wage war to the tribe of Benjamin. You can go and read this story. But what happened in the threat of fear of invasion and war, the tribe of Benjamin begin to assemble their warriors. And then when we read through the chapter, it says that 20,000 men, 20,000 different kinds of warrior were beginning to assemble to prepare for a war that is critical, a war that will determine also their existence. A very important time, significant time, that they need to rally the people, a time that they needed people the most. And then it recorded there for one verse, was it said that there was 700, and among these warriors came 700 men who were left-handed. And it says that this man were so deadly with their left hand. And it was funny because I said, okay, that's good. So left-handed people are awesome. But then you read the background of these people. There are many comments why in the commentary written about this small passage that speaks of these 700 men. It says they were so good. Their accuracy, they were so deadly that you can sling a horse hair, tie something, and they would stand in a distance and throw, it would hit this thin target. That's how precise they were. But as we look more on their background, there are, somebody says one commentary, they were left-handed because they were not right-handed. So
I was like, whoa, that's pretty profound. Yeah, okay, I understand that. But in another commentary, it says, they were left-handed because they no longer can use their right hand. These were warriors. They used to have a right hand. They used to be able to use both hands. But maybe in a time of war, they got injured. Maybe they cut off their finger or they don't have any more hand anymore. But somehow they were injured or something happened that they no longer can use their right hand. And they muster. The only thing that is left, that is their left hand. And they become more deadlier using their left hand than having both hands. When I look at this picture, this passage, it jumped on me. That many times we rely so much on our inability. Many times we realize we are caught up, we are enslaved, we have been paralyzed spiritually by things that happened in the past. It becomes an excuse for us. Now, you know, they have two options, these warriors. If you join the army of Israel, if you get injured, you have an option to stay home or you can fight again. It's up to you. These 700 men with the ability to fight with one hand never rely on what pulls them down. They sharpen and become excellent with what's only left for them to bear their only weapon, the arm that would defend their people for a battle that is critical, a battle that is important. They put up their hands and they say, you can count me in. I will fight. And I will fight better before than before. Amen? I am blessed to have Diane with us. Every time I see her, my heart. Here is a woman. One of the most faithful person I've ever seen, I've ever met to come across. Walking with her crutches. Doing the things that she loves doing. And I tell you what, I wish we have a lot of left-handed here who are deadly. Amen? That we are not relying on the things that holds us back in life. Our past, our hurt, our excuses, our boo-woo, our wee-wee-wawa, that we rise up and say, I am not going to stop here, but I will rise up and whatever is left with me, that God, that my inability and God's ability, I can do anything. Amen? And for us, the challenge as we move forward and focus is say, God, where do you want me? When I speak to you today, I speak also to me. This message is for all of us. There is an incredible calling in this church. And you, and those of us who choose to be part of this family, we engage ourselves in the mandate of heaven that is far greater than our authority structure that we have here. So, 2017, I want to encourage us to pray about where God wants to involve you, where your passion is, what level and degree. If there is anything, I want us to be a church that obeys God, a church that loves to be in his presence. A church that loves to fellowship and love people with each other, to help each other grow, to encourage and stir one another. A church that'll be a testimony to the world.
urine. Maybe you are here for a short period of time. Maybe God is calling you to be here. You know, people go, come and go. We have Sugianto that we send off. These are wonderful members of our church. But they were excited as they go. I said, don't forget to start a fellowship there. And I think there's our sister here who's going there with them. Yeah. We have a lot to talk about today. So be encouraged, members. He who began the good work in us is faithful to bring it to completion. Amen. Let us pray together. Father, I pray for faith. I pray for healing. I pray for courage. I pray for your ability in us. I pray for unity. I pray for humility. I pray that we will have, that this place will be a house of worship, a house that we thrive in and grow instead of striving and surviving, that this place will be a place of sending. We'll see multiplication, inspiration to see other multicultural churches established here in Norway and other countries in the world, as you're already doing. We thank you for your mercy and grace for us. Amen.